Devin Almonte here. Welcome. This is Inside Out, where we learn to look at our faith from God's eyes and figure out how to live that out in our everyday. Let me ask you this. Do you really enjoy Christmas? And I mean, not the Jesus part of Christmas. I mean, I know that's the point of Christmas, but we do so much more than actually celebrate that. But we get so wrapped up, our culture gets wrapped up in the whole festive, I mean, it's really 2 months. I mean, Christmas starts at the end of October. Decorations, the shopping starts, the sales start. We feel like we got to do all these gatherings and go to these parties out of obligation. We're not really having any fun, despite all the shimmery and festive stuff that's around us. Merry Christmas is not the reality for a lot of people. I got a clip I want to share. Just listen to this example. This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Let me start this video by saying I actually do love the holidays and I love Christmas. I just hate Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. The reason is because my parents are divorced and so are my fiancés. And I'm so envious of the people who can just wake up and do that. It's not my reality. Like, do you guys feel the same way? Because I'm starting to really resent the holidays.
I get it. I totally get it. That's hard. Split homes, blended homes, aunts and uncles that we don't talk to, cousins that we don't want to see. It's complicated. This was from the American Psychological Association. They said that we as U.S. adults were feeling joyous, but just overwhelmed by the entire holiday season. 89% of these people in this survey that they took said it's the stress over not having enough money. Then we're missing loved ones. We're missing ones that have passed on. Then we're anticipating all this family conflict. And then there's the whole group that's lonely, 60% lonely during the holidays. Do you feel like this is something that's getting worse every year? It's hard to tell. I think in one sense, we've formed these expectations of what Christmas is supposed to look like. And we have that vision in our mind. We're watching way too many Hallmark Christmas movies where everything's perfect. Joanna Gaines, who I love, but makes my house feel a little less than around the holiday season. And then just when our life doesn't match up to those things, and when we hear all the other plans that other people have, we feel the absence of all of that. We notice who's not there, the cousin that lives too far away and we can't afford to travel, and the grandparents that passed on. And instead of feeling peace, which Christmas is very much about, because God is peace. Now, what triggered this for me, I was reading online and I came across an article about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. It's hard not to. There's so many stories about them all the time. And by all accounts, whether you like them, hate them, that's not the point, but they have all the things that we would think would bring us peace. They've got financial stability. They have the fame. They have influence. They've got the beautiful home, the kids, the dog. Do they have a dog? I think, yes, they do have a dog. I saw their Christmas card, because that was another story, which we'll save for another time. But the story was zeroing in on the fact that Meghan Markle was going to be lonely this Christmas. The fallout with the royal family. She's got the issues with her dad. I think her mom and her are still strong. And it's been, I think, 6 years since Prince Harry has spent Christmas with the royal family. And yes, I totally understand what you might be thinking. Oh, well, you know, she's the one that caused this and she started the rift and that's what she gets. That's what she deserves. And the whole story. However, despite that, we all have stuff like this in our families. And just picture that. Maybe you have that 6 years where you haven't seen your family because of something going on in the family. And you might have your own immediate family, your kids and your husband or whatever, and you have that, but you're missing just this whole other part of your life and the people that God has put in your life. I think that's hard, even if there's something that you did that contributed to the problem or it was something that your family member did. It's hard all the way around. And this is why I think we don't like Christmas, or why so many struggle with Christmas. This loneliness we feel and the stress, all of these things, it's what it really tells me is that we don't have peace. And just like Christmas, peace is now one of those words that kind of gets mixed up and marketed in different ways on how the world interprets what peace is. Peace to us looks like the absence of conflict, right? I get that. It looks like, oh, if I have peace, that means I have comfort. And then we start thinking about all the things that will help us have peace. So, oh, okay, well then this is a troublesome relationship. I got to get rid of that because I need peace. This job is too stressful. Get rid of that. I need peace. My health, make myself better so I can have peace. The finances, all of those things, like just get all of those things in perfect order. And then we'll have the peace that we have been longing for. With all the New Year's resolutions right around the corner, we have peace as a goal. I'm going to have peace when I finally lose this weight. I'm going to have peace when my family stops arguing. I'm going to have peace when I get married, peace when I get out of this marriage. This was really funny. I was at the gym a couple weeks ago and I do a lot of the fitness classes, and I'm walking out of the class and there are three ladies talking. They're, I guess, maybe in their 60s, and I can overhear their conversation, and they sounded so genuinely excited for this person that wasn't even there. They were talking about this woman and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, that is so exciting. I am so excited for her. She must be so happy now. We need to go out and celebrate. And I'm hearing this and I assume that, oh, it sounds like whoever they're talking about, engaged or married, something like that. And then as they finally walk out, one of the women like yells back to the other woman. She goes, oh, just tell her I'm so happy. Tell her congrats on the divorce. And I just started laughing because in my little world, when I heard all of that, I thought, wow, something really good must have happened to this person that they're talking about. So my mind went to marriage, baby, engagement. In the world of these three women, their excitement went to the fact that this woman was divorced. And I don't know all the ins and outs of this situation, of course, but I thought, oh my gosh, we have such different versions of what brings peace in our lives. I was thinking wholeness toward establishing family, finding a partner that God has put in our lives. And their idea of peace for this woman was tearing all of that apart so this woman could be on her own. Again, my intention is to never judge these situations because who knows her real reasons for her divorce. And then there's the TikTok version of peace, which comes from No Contact. Have you seen these videos? They are everywhere. Thousands of these videos on TikTok so that you can preserve your peace. It drives me crazy how they come up with all these little catchy slogans. Go no contact on your family. I'm quiet quitting in my job. Anyway, so to give you a little background on what no contact means, that is when there are certain people in your life that you need to no longer talk to. It could be temporary. It could be permanent. And so there are a lot of people that are cutting off their families, going no contact. Relationships, friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, no contact. Many of the reasons that I think are rather superficial. Things like, oh, your mom disagrees with you. She's a threat to your peace. Go no contact. You know, cut her out of your life. Or, oh, your aunt's hosting Christmas. She's not going to serve your vegan food like you ask. Go no contact. I wish I was making this up. Just here's a little clip. Bear with me. Just listen to this.
Once you get a taste of peace, you'll cut anyone off to keep it. Family, friends, co-workers, spouses, it don't even matter.
You know one of the most important lessons I've learned this year? Cutting people off doesn't have limits.
If you're somebody that has adult children, your children are grown, right? And they've gone no contact or low contact. Maybe you have grandchildren that you don't get to see. It's not because your kids are punishing you for their childhood and the abuse that they endured. It's because they don't like who you are now.
Your decision to go no contact with your family of origin is 100% the right decision.
Okay, I'm a little upset today. Around 5 years ago, I lost my sister. And I don't mean lost her like she passed away. Meaning she just chose to remove herself from my life.
Scary. That is scary. Something else I noticed when I was looking at these videos, most of them that I found were white women in their 20s and black men in their 30s. Why? I have no idea, but that's what I was finding. I really tried for real to make attempts to be as diverse as I could here. And this is what I got. That's the best I could do. I felt like hours on this just trying to diversify it, but this is what we got. Now, let me also be clear here on this, just with everything, there is definitely a gray area here because I know in some situations, especially holiday time, Christmas time, when you have to see family members that you might have tension with, yes, there are toxic behaviors and things that we need to step away from for our own health and well-being where it's not healthy to see our family members. Just example, if you're in recovery where your family loves to get plastered on Christmas Eve and they're nasty to you and they're it's not good for you or your kids. It is okay and perfectly good. And I believe you should do that is say, no, I can't be a part of that. It's just that we have gone so far to the other extreme, just cutting out really good people in our lives that it's heartbreaking. And we're doing all of that, all of it with the attempt to bottle up and restore and save and salvage our peace, our personal peace. We're trying to hold on to it. And I don't think it works. We could go on and on about the world's version of peace. Just look at our last election, both candidates giving a message of what peace looks like. The absence of conflict, which means totally different things to two different parties. If we can guarantee wages for everybody, we'll have peace. But is that really peace? Because then that affects other people. Does that take away their peace? Men in women's locker rooms, that might create peace for one, but it takes away the peace of another. So I just see the world's ways at finding peace and trying to hold on to it. It's external because what happens if the money is bringing peace and that goes away, if the relationship brings peace and stability and then that crumbles, then that means that our sense of peace is going to go right down the drain with it. So all of those things, the world is just saying that peace is conditional. And if we get the conditions right and perfect, then we're going to be at peace. But we know this is a broken world. It's a fallen world, and we are never going to have that. We have hope that we can mend things and fix things and improve upon them, but the conditions are never going to be right. When we turn to scripture, we find a totally, completely different narrative about peace. I have a verse for us today, too. I'll post that online in case you want to reference it a little later. John 14, verse 27, Jesus tells his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." This is such a radically different message than the peace that the world gives us, the message that the world is giving us about peace. Jesus isn't saying that, okay, well, once your health gets better and you're free of all the difficulties, you're going to have peace. It'll be wonderful, I promise you. What I see him saying is that he is leave my peace with you. I'm leaving peace with you right here, right now. And the right here, right now could be we're going through all different things. Maybe you're going through something difficult. Maybe somebody has something to celebrate. Regardless of those circumstances, his peace is right there. It is a gift. I like the Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom. And it means so much more than peace. It's a very rich word. It's kind of hard to describe all what it means in its entirety, but it implies completeness and wholeness, all the well-being, all everything in harmony, everything in almost like a proper alignment. And I don't think that's referring to making sure all the chaos around us is in alignment. It's making sure that we are in alignment, that there is an inner anchor that's just holding us together, holding us steady. And so this verse, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives." The other way I look at this, and you might disagree, is, but like I see Jesus, like if you, what he was actually saying to his disciples here is when he's saying, I will leave this with you. He was leaving to go to the cross, where he was going to experience death on the cross. And we know that was not the end. But the disciples, I would assume, like me, if I were around in that time, like I would have no idea, what does he mean he's leaving his peace? I don't understand this. What is he saying? And it reminded me of, like, if you've ever pictured the, you know, those horseshoe looking magnets, my kids used to have one. I had one when I was little, and you kind of, but they would run around the house, pick up things like paper clips and stuff. It's almost as if, like that powerful force, which is Jesus, right, is that paperclip clings to the magnet. Like it, that force, that power creates that connection. And you have those two physical items there. You got the paperclip, you got the magnet. But when Jesus is saying, "Peace I leave with you," here comes that almost separation, because he's going to the cross to experience the physical death. So we would think, okay, well now this is separating here. But what Jesus is actually saying is, no, even though the physical death is happening, that connection, the magnet to the paperclip, you will always have. And that's the salvation message, of that Jesus, we have his Holy Spirit. We have his peace right now in the midst of this broken world. And so that's something that will always be that permanent connection. I just thought that was like a really beautiful way to look at it. I don't know if I'm all on target with that scripturally, but that's how I really started to see this verse and understand the peace that Jesus gives to us. That message goes beyond logic. It goes beyond rational explanation. But that's the reason, when we see people going through horrible, horrible suffering and tragedies, and we say, well, how are you so calm in the midst of what you are facing? And it can't be explained in worldly terms. We can't say, oh, well, it's because I have money now, or because I got married now, that everything's better. And we might not be able to explain that in a worldly way, because it's not of this world. So I hope that excites you. That gets me so excited to be a follower of Christ, because that is the gift that we have at Christmas. That is the gift that we have all the time. It is, we are rooted in that peace with the one who is in total control, who loves us and will never leave us in our struggles ever. And it is available to anyone, regardless of our status, regardless of whether we're the royal family and have the wealth, or whatever our family situation is, or whatever struggle we're going through personally. It doesn't matter. We have access to that peace. What it requires is for us to say, yes, Lord, I trust you as my Lord and my Savior. And in return, we get a kingdom of peace handed to us, given to us freely. We have access to the kingdom, sons and daughters of the royal king. We have permanent access to that peace. We need it. Meghan and Harry need it. Your parents need it. Your grandkids need it. It is what every single person in this world needs. It is such a contrast to the world's view of peace and God's peace. The difference, they couldn't be more opposite. The world is telling us to fix everything on the outside, and then we're going to have that peace and calm on the inside. He says, fix everything on the inside, and you do that by inviting me into your life, and then you will have the peace and calm that I provide, no matter what happens on the outside. And it's not just that. When we have that peace of God inside of us that has transformed us, then that goes out into the world, illuminates, and helps to change the outside circumstances for good and for his glory. It can't get better than that. If the way of the world is terrifying us and scaring us in the path that we've been headed, here's one of the ways that we can start to bring godly change to the world. We start by inviting his peace into our lives. It's hard. It's hard to put into practice. It's hard to remember to see it the way God sees it, because we're sinners. We want to protect ourselves. We want to protect our peace. And we reach for a lot of the things that aren't of Christ. We reach for the other things with these temporary fixes. And a lot of times, I don't think we have a long-range view of the kingdom. We're focused very much on the world here and how to fix the difficulties in the world here, which is important. But we try to make sense of these complexities that we have here and how to fix them. Because I would just look at, there's been so much controversy around Mother Teresa. She is somebody the world admires as an incredible symbol of compassion and peace and everything that she's done for the poor. But not everybody agrees with her approach to peace and what peace actually is. So I have a little clip. I want you to listen to this.
Mother Teresa received a lot of criticism for taking all of this money that people thought was going toward helping people that were sick, you know, that would go to like medical care, medication, and none of that happened. You could argue that she was helping people to die with dignity, but Mother Teresa strongly felt that like suffering was Christ-like and good, so they didn't even medicate people who were on their deathbed. Also, most of those donations went to missionary work in other countries. And part of Mother Teresa and her order's mission was to baptize as many people as possible.
So there's a lot to unpack there, too, where just how do we help somebody experience peace, especially when we're confronted with poverty? I mean, with all the massive donations that were flowing in, she could have maybe given $1 million to every single person in poverty. But she didn't do that with the resources. And so she decided she would pray. She would offer prayers instead of building a hospital. Those were some of the criticisms. Why didn't you improve the conditions there? Maybe there were things she could have done. Maybe not. I that is between her and God and what God, I believe God called her to do. But what I believe from what I've seen of her life was that she saw the pathway to peace for those in poverty was their salvation. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Money can't do that. A hospital can't do that. Health can't do that. God, who is peace, can do that. It's like the woman in the Bible who dumped her whole bottle of perfume on Jesus's feet. I mean, just money down the drain. But was it really? She recognized who the Savior was. That's why I think when we build our life on the promises of God, what we're doing essentially is building it on that solid rock. So it's a strong foundation that's not going to go anywhere. So that no matter what comes at it, which Meghan and Prince Harry's story is the family drama, you know, all the public attention, the struggles that we might have, just pain and loneliness or disappointment, all these other things that might come into play, when it hits our foundation, it's not going to shake us. The storm's not going to knock our house down. And that's what makes the peace of God so transformative, because we can still weep and still grieve over the brokenness and the struggles and the suffering, but we're not going to lose the grounding, because there's that magnetic hold that the peace that God gives us, that connection that he gives us now, it doesn't depend on all of these other factors. I get that Christmas is a very hard time for so many people. I hear that also on the radio show, just the struggles. So it's hard because everything is like illuminated with all the lights and we got to feel a certain way, but we're broken. And if we feel like that piece is missing, I think a lot of that is because we're following the world's message of peace, that you've got to have this and you have to have this, and then you'll have the peace that you've always wanted. That's not it. That's not the Christmas gift that we're waiting to receive. Yeah. So I love to think about that. Just go back to that verse. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then we've got the hard part of, okay, well, how do we actually live in that peace? How do we actually take that beyond our thinking and experiencing that in our life daily? This is what I call insight out living, because I think a lot of times what happens is there is so much information. I mean, there are a gazillion podcasts and all these things that we can listen to. And I love hearing all the messages. Like, I'm kind of podcast obsessed, but so much of it is taking in. And the reason I felt called to do this is to help us figure out a way to bring this out in our everyday lives. So we're not just thinking about what God means in our life, that we're actually living that out. So first and foremost, the thing we should always do is be in prayer over this, because your struggles with peace and my struggles with peace and trying to figure out how to live that out are going to be different. God will direct our ways. And so I'll just share how I've been trying to work on understanding and living out God's peace. And one of them is to break some of those bad habits of trying to preserve my own peace. It's a self-interested peace. And the more I try to bottle up my own peace, the less peace I actually have. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. not let me establish peace in my heart so that I feel better. It's let the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And we have the choice to accept that. We have the choice to resist it if we want. We can resist it. And trust me, I see time and time again how that works out. It doesn't work out too well. And then something else I try to look at and do is when something comes up and a situation that causes me some stress and anxiety is to get out of fixing mode where let me fix this so that I have peace. That's kind of like trying to bring my kingdom peace back. I don't have a kingdom. God has the kingdom. So it's taking all of those things that are making me a little uncomfortable and saying, all right, God, here are my fears, here are my anxieties, presenting that to the Lord instead of trying to cling to those things. I don't want those things. Hand them over to God. That's from Philippians 4. Just present your request to God rather than just clinging to these things. I want to invite God into my problem. I want to say, Lord, here's the situation. It is completely beyond me. I can't fix it. I don't know how to fix it. And I'm going to trust you that you're going to work in ways that I can't see. And when I do that, it's almost like I've got this protection. I've got God's peace. It's just guarding my heart and my mind from those things that are attempting to take away my peace, try to break it away from the cross. So think about it. You too can live this out practically. Figure out right now. I mean, this is a great time of year because this is when our stresses are up. So we have a lot of things that are trying to take away our peace. Figure out what those things are. Just look at maybe the top three things that are trying to steal your peace. It could be that difficult relationship that you have with your mom or dad or a sibling. I've heard from so many people that have had their hours cut at work over the last year or two. And they said, I got to pick up a second job, a third job. How am I going to do this? So name all of those peace stealers, as I call them, and just take them all to God in prayer and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I don't know how to fix it, but you are the one that can hold me steady in it. And one of the best ways too for us to get out of our own way, I guess you could say, is, oh, yes, there are other people in the world. And oh, yeah, we're not the only ones that are hurting and suffering and lacking in peace. So think about your neighbors, the people that you work with, just anybody that, remember, it was something like 60% of people are lonely this holiday season. So when we're out and about, guaranteed you're going to run into somebody that's struggling. What can we offer that person? Maybe it's just a listening ear. We don't have to overcomplicate it. I think sometimes we think we have to do all this grand stuff to help somebody when maybe they just need your presence for a few minutes. And as we help that person indirectly, that will guard our own heart and protect our peace. So I like to wrap up in prayer and take that actual action because that's something else that I think can bring us a lot of peace. We hear time and time again, especially if you're involved with church or different groups, oh, I'll pray for you. I'll pray over that. But we never actually pray together. So instead of doing that, we're actually going to pray. And if this is all new to you, you'll hear me pray. It's not eloquent. It's not refined. It just, prayer is an opportunity for us to talk to God and bring him into conversation. Present our needs, our requests, have fellowship. So that's what we're going to do. So Lord, we come before you today. We thank you for just helping us understand your peace, acknowledging that we often seek peace in places that simply can't provide it. We want to fix the brokenness. We want to restore the relationships. We want these things fixed so that we can have peace again. But we confess that we try to control these circumstances, we try to manipulate the situations, or we're looking for something to bring the peace to our lives that really only you can do, Lord. And forgive us for the times that we put all these conditions on the peace, saying that once we have this, I'll have peace. Once we have that, I'll have peace, Lord, and then I can serve you or whatever it is. You offer such a different way. You leave us your peace, and it's a peace that we cannot and will not find in this world. It's not of this world. Thank you for that gift, Lord. Teach us to trust you when we're in these situations that feel overwhelming, especially this Christmas when we're dealing with family dynamics and loneliness. Just help us to surrender all the worries, all the pains, the stressed relationships, what we think Christmas is supposed to be and look like. remove all of that so that we have that true gift of peace that you place in our hands. It requires no decorations. It requires no stockings, no perfect holiday meal. It does require a tree, but not the Christmas tree, the tree of the cross. Father, I pray for everybody listening that you would work on our hearts, help us understand your peace, that you would restore us to a place of absolute comfort that you provide no matter what our circumstances or situations are. In his name we pray, amen. So the gossip columns are going after Meghan Markle, Prince Harry, all the drama looking over the fact that they don't have peace this Christmas. But if we've learned anything, the real peace isn't found in those things. It's in the relationship with the one who offers peace that defies the ways of this world. Okay, just a few things to make you aware of. You can come find me on Facebook. I have a private Facebook group called Insight Out. It's a faith community. We'll talk about things that happen here on the show, any questions you have, prayers that you need. It's just a place to connect, to keep us accountable and keep us in the peace of God and keep us focused on living in him and learning how to live that out in our daily life. So I would love to see you there. And if you heard something today that you think could help somebody, go ahead and share it. I would love that. Go ahead, like the episode as well. That always helps. And until next time, remember that we have a choice. We can seek peace in the temporary solutions, all the external things, which I certainly probably will try again. But deep down, we know that we can find it in the eternal presence of God that only he can give. So let's choose wisely, and may we learn to live it inside out. Merry Christmas.